Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Amanda Moxley. I'm the hostess of the Speak Your Way to Success series, where I've gathered women and male entrepreneurs from all around the world who are doing just that, speaking their way to success, sharing their message. And we want to give you gifts and tools and strategies so that you can speak your way to success to impact millions and make millions. And today I have Beth Davis, the one and the only. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, I'll let you all get to know Beth by sharing her professional bio, and then we'll get started. So I have known Beth personally for many, many years. She's actually spoken at my events, and she's amazing, a really gifted healer and transformational leader and coach and a business person, and you're going to love her. So for nearly 19 years, Beth's passionate professional focus has been to help thousands of entrepreneurs and spiritual seekers discover their life purpose, get paid for their passions, and find soul satisfaction through a breakthrough time-proven system called scientific hand analysis. Beth's unique form of spiritual teaching balances metaphysical spirituality, defining and understanding one's purpose as you came here to live it, with real-world business skills and strategy. As featured in Women's World, Cosmopolitan, and Los Angeles Times, and heard on Radio Europe, NPR, and the BBC 5, as well as seen on the internet and television, Beth is an advisor to people in the healing professions, coaching, business, the arts, and many other industries. While commanding $1,500 per hour for her private hand analysis sessions, Beth's wisdom is also available through her online classes, mentoring, and live events, as well as her accessible home study education programs. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
I love it. Well, you have a lot of great exposure, and you've been hosting events and leading workshops, and like, you're doing something which is so inspiring, because a lot of people listening are like you and me, and they're really spiritual, and they may not know how to monetize those gifts. And it's so inspiring that you've been able to do that. What do you think has been the number one thing that's allowed you to step into that purpose and really command the success you've had?
Well, there's two parts. One is that I believe that if you're not getting what you want, it's because you think you know who you are, and you don't. You don't, because if you did, your life would be working.
Yeah.
And the majority of people I see whose life is frustrating, bitter, a struggle, a push, tons of effort, right? And not effort that's pleasing, not the kind of effort that you put into this teleseries, for example, right? It's effort. You're gathering people, you're interviewing them, but it's coming from a place of joy, a place of service, right? So the first piece is that we often are living an identity that isn't ours. So the first step, and that's where I focus in my business, is to support people in claiming their true purpose, their true identity, separate from all the conditioning they've received as children. And it takes 7 to 10 years for most of us to unravel the conditioning once we've made a conscious decision to do so. And of course, some people are more conditioned than others. So that's the first part, is who are you? Because there's so much of us that's faded, that we cannot control. We can only maximize it in that we have a unique DNA structure, a unique biology that shows up in our hands. It also shows up in any metaphysical tool you want to look at: Human Design, Myers-Briggs, Kolbe profile, astrology, right? You do a tarot card reading and figure out who you are. It's just, do you want to see it? So that's the first thing, is who are you? And are you willing to trust the internal authority above and beyond all the noise? Because there's so much noise.
Yeah.
And then the second piece, once that purpose has been defined, is one needs to put in place a business plan and a business model that reflects who you are. And again, that requires having the inner power to make decisions, because many people look for a system or formula, and I call it the paste on, and they paste on someone else's formula onto their identity. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
parts of it might work, but it's very, very hit and miss. So I think a large part of my ongoing success is that, one, I make the decisions internally to study with this person or that person, take this course or that course. There isn't a lot of angst about it, because I'm waiting for an internal response. And that's a practice skill, right? And also, really doing things because they're joyful and because they are of service, right? To other people. Now, about 65% of the people listening to this interview have a purpose that requires them to focus on themselves, to be self-centered. Painters, dancers, certain entrepreneurs, a lot of people, more than half of the population. Their service comes when they share their creation, right? Like if they're trapped in a dungeon doing the thing they love and they don't ever get people to see it,
right?
Then they can't fulfill the purpose. But the real fulfillment comes from the recognition of their internal process made visible. And for the rest of us, we're really here just to serve other people. And our challenge is, and I'm one of those. So I am not particularly self-motivated by acquisition, for example. If I have any kind of desire, it's always to build a better system, right? A better mousetrap for purpose so that I can serve more people. So when I make more money, it lets me hire more people and serve more people and spend more on marketing. And it's all in service too. And there isn't one right or wrong. It's important for each person to know how they're wired though. Mm-hmm. Are you service oriented towards others or do you need to be self-centered? So I know a lot of self-centered people that are pushing energy out to serve and it's not working because they feel guilty. Like I should serve. And it's like, no, not really. And then there's people that need to be serving and they're not. And they're miserable in their little bubble, right? Being self-centered. Yeah. So that's one of the things too, is we live in this paradoxical universe, right? The binary system, there's masculine, feminine, day, night. And when we start to learn that that's how this universe works, it's so eye-opening. Like it's so magical. Mm-hmm. So the hands reveal someone's kind of dominant active or masculine energy and more passive receptive yin feminine energy and how to balance and work with those energies to create success. So one other way to put this, Amanda, is that it's the nature of alchemy. And really what I am here is to be a transformational alchemist to help people take those parts of themselves that they've judged or made wrong and recognize they're the secret spice that leads to their success.
Right. Yeah, so. Can you give us an example of that?
Absolutely. So for you, example, I'll use you as an example. So your part of your life purpose is to be in the spotlight, right? To be in front of people as a messenger. And one of the ways you get feedback or positive criticism, we all need criticism, to help us grow. One of the best forms of positive criticism is applause. Therefore, you have to be in front of people on a regular basis in front of an audience, not just one person, be a group you're teaching, a mastermind, a live event, being on this telesummit and having lots of people watch. And then their feedback gives you energy to share more. So if you're not in front of people getting applause, you're going to be on the student path or the yucky path, the painful path of the inverse of your life purpose,
right?
Which is where a lot of people are. Many people called to the spotlight who need applause. They need it. They actually need applause. It's not an ego thing. That's a different part of the hand, actually. Ego and applause, they're different parts of the hand. Wanting applause, wanting recognition is a human need. And in fact, it is the most common energy of life purposes is spotlight all over the world. So the majority of humans need an audience, at least sometimes, and they need to be acknowledged, approved of, applauded, appraised, have the flowers tossed at their feet.
Right.
And that feeds the creative process. It feeds it. So if you weren't doing what you were doing, you could be an addict. You could be very depressed. You could be very resentful, very frustrated if you weren't, if you weren't doing that. And the main reason people called to be visible are not is because they fear rejection. tomato fear, we call it, right? They're afraid of being hit with the rotten tomatoes.
Right.
So that's a very simple example. And I share that one because it's the most common purpose or aspect of someone's purpose is to be seen, is to be visible.
Right. And so it's so true. And then they're afraid. So they possibly some of them, then they have the fear of rejection, but they really need it. What are some ways that people can get in the spotlight, that they can get visible, that they can be seen and applauded and all that?
Right. So I'm really, really practical about this. So at its root, the internal game is, I was just writing about this last night, is most of us have some kind of core wound with our family. And the family's job isn't so much to see us and applaud us. It's nice if that happens. Their job is to keep us safe and make sure we observe the status quo, that we follow the rules. So let's say one of your clients gets it in her head, hey, I had my hands read recently and my life purpose includes spotlight. And I'm going to hire Amanda and her company to help me put strategies and systems in place to increase my visibility. Okay, that sounds all fine and good, right? And then resistance comes in.
Yeah.
Call it what you will, laziness, procrastination, excuses, whining, complaining, whatever. It's not that people are lazy. I haven't met these lazy people. I do not know of these lazy people. I mean, I'm sure, I've met a few stoners who like to surf, but they're in the minority, right? Yeah. And they're surfing at least. They're developing a skill. Right, getting very good at
That's active. That's active. Yeah,
it's very active, right? So it's not lazy. So most people aren't lazy. They have to move. They have to create. So, long story short, the person knows their purpose. They're hired you as a coach or one of your team coaches. They've got the support in place. They're doing all the right mental things. But if we dig underneath it, and they're not taking action, we come to they're afraid of rejection. So they're getting confused. Oh, I don't remember my brand. Like, I don't remember what you told me to do in the last coaching call. They're apathetic. Oh, I don't care that much. I don't really need success. I don't, you know, all that stuff starts coming in. And underneath it is usually a tribal wound. Right? So it might be you can't surpass your father.
Yeah.
Or your mother was a narcissist and it was always about her. So for you to take up space, you were wrong. A lot of people have been abused. I'd say probably 1 in 3 people from the stats I've read, you know, men and women, if we combine, 1 in 3 people has been sexually abused, raped, beaten. So you have that experience when you're this little being, right, with this precious soft brain that's just absorbing. And then you become an adult. It's like, oh, it's not that hard to make a phone call to a meeting planner. It's not that hard to do my assignments for coaching. Why am I not doing it? Underneath it is this terror of punishment, judgment, being excommunicated, being kicked out of the community, being betrayed or betraying someone. So ultimately, it's about betraying the tribal beliefs that aren't serving you. And betrayal is a big word. I like that word because in order to succeed in life, we have to be willing to betray untruth to be true to ourselves. And most of us are in allegiance to lies and distortions and manipulations that are in our unconscious. So what happens when people come to work with you or me is they start getting triggered. And I really think that is the work of most coaches, is really how do I hold space for my client who is now triggered by, because now they've got a conflict, right? My purpose versus my blind spot. My purpose versus betraying mother, father, sister, uncle, aunt, exposing the family secrets. So that's what's underneath most of this stuff, right? And depending on your personality, I mean, I'm going to really make a huge generalization here, but male energy is active. So I have observed with my male clients, to their detriment, I might add, they're able to override that emotional pain with activity. In fact, I'm meeting with a client tonight, and I'm going to have to give him a little bitch slap conversation. I mean, I won't actually hit him and traumatize him, but he is really out of relationship with his wound. I can see it. Everyone around him can see it. And if he doesn't deal with it, it's just going to sabotage what he does. He'll only be able to go so far.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is with masculine men, they can take that action energy, and masculine driven women, I have it too. You have it too. Yeah, ambitious women, active women can override the emotional wound. Mm-hmm. The more sensitive, receptive types of people cannot. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones you see going nowhere fast. So it isn't one's better than the other, because you see the active people hit a level of success and then they crash and burn. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's happened to you. I know it's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we get everything ripped away and then we have to build again. That's what happens to the active people who aren't honoring the wound. And then the passive people, nothing's happening, right? Because they're just, I'm just going to be passive and not act. And then maybe the wound will go away. So in the hands, we call that wound your life lesson.
Mm.
It's your blind spot, right? And the shadow of these blind spots can be tribal, rage, guilt, shame, apathy, fear of rejection, trust issues. Not trusting intuition, not trusting inspiration from the divine, from God. So whatever the wound is, it impacts the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in order to speak, right, to get on stage, a practical tip would be, well, join Toastmasters. But here's the thing. It's really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is horrifyingly, terrifyingly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in a speaker training now, and my friends are like, why are you in that? You're a speaker. And the person leading it is like, hey, look at Beth. She's been a speaker for 20 years, and I'm in with all these beginners and a few other pros. It's like 10 pros, and all the other people are beginners, or they've been doing it for a little while.
Right.
And it's kicking my ass, because I'm digging into where I need to improve as a speaker. Right? Mm-hmm. The learning's never done. And it's nice to be with beginners, because it's so humbling, because I'm remembering, oh, I remember that, and oh, I could improve on that, actually, whatever the thing is. It's so uncomfortable. I mean, I got on stage, I had to do a 1-minute talk, this was 2 weeks ago, and my knees were knocking, like I really, I thought I was going to pass out. I'm like, I haven't been this nervous in years.
Yeah, because you have your own events, and you speak on stages.
Yeah, that's fine, because they're my realm.
Right.
My
right.
rules.
Yeah.
It works really nicely. But when it's someone else's realm and it's their rules and they've got a structure. So that's why I say go to Toastmasters, because it's very structured. It's very systematic. It's very inexpensive and it's very uncomfortable until you learn the protocol. And then suddenly you can speak on the fly because you've got a structure internalized. It's like learning how to drive.
Right.
So what I see a lot of people do is they wait. They think this fear is going to go away. The fear never goes away. And the sooner you accept that you're going to be uncomfortable all the time, the more you'll succeed. All right. The other part of it is, it's one thing to know what to do. You've got to have support. Everybody needs accountability, even self-starters like you and me. Like someone said to me, oh, you work at home. I mean, don't you get distracted? I'm like, no, the dishes pile up. The laundry sometimes gets out of hand, but I have a housekeeper that comes, you know.
Yeah.
No, I like, I have to drag myself out of the office. So no, I'm not distracted working at home. I like the peace and quiet, but I work all the time. So self-starters, they need feedback to know when to stop, to get more body work, take vacations, learn to nap, ask for help, delegate. And people who aren't self-starters, they need someone who is guiding them with, okay, now what's the next step? And here are the steps for the next step. How people, right? There are how people and there are intuitive people. And they're not that the how people can't be intuitive. Of course they can, but my brain's intuitive. So I instinctively know what the next step is. And if I don't know how to do it, I'll either hire someone to do it or I'll figure it out. But I don't need a formula. Right. I just actually observe people do things. Like people are like, how'd you learn to speak? I'm like, well, I watched a lot of people speak and then I just tried it. And I bombed a lot, but it didn't matter. I just kept trying it. I didn't care. It was just feedback, right? It doesn't matter if I bomb. Just keep going. So the intuitive types absorb knowledge through observation and practice. The how people, those left brain people, they require from their coach a set of steps. So I invite people to really dig into, okay, what type am I? Because if you're an intuitive type, you're just off doing what you need to do. You don't need a lot of product. But if you're a how person, you could stay paralyzed for years if you don't have a system.
Right.
And I've learned now with my clients that the clients that need systems get frustrated with me. Mm-hmm. So I bring in other people on my team to give them systems.
Right.
Because while I intuitively know systems, it bores the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Got to know your type. Exactly. But I think, because I find myself very intuitive. I'd say I'm an intuitive.
You are, very.
Yeah. And yet at the same time, like there, one thing I've been growing out of is like, I feel like, okay, I need the system and then I'll get it. And as I matured as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. I realize I have to listen to myself, be myself.
That's right.
Versus follow that, because when I do it, it doesn't work.
Right. It doesn't work. No, it's just like, it just bombs, right? It's just not helpful. So
Don't paste it on. So
don't paste it on. Right. No pasties.
No pasties, people. Okay. So Beth, I want to talk to you about your events because
let's get into some how. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into how, even though I love this conversation about the tribal wound. Oh, that's good. That's so true.
You got to deal with your, pardon me. Is it right to swear on here?
Sure.
You got to deal with your shit. You know, like as my aunt used to say, you got to get your poop in a group. Get your poop in a group. You got to, because otherwise it's just oozing out. Like with this client I have to talk to tonight, like his anger is just oozing out and he thinks he's all happy and peaceful. And I'm like, oh my God, he's enraged about his childhood. And everyone could see it except him. And he's like, you know, smoking and drinking and thinking, oh, I'm fine. And it's like, no, you're just masking your rage. And do you want to deal with it or not?
Right.
Because he'll get a certain level of success he already has, but it's cost him relationships, health, money.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a cost if we don't deal with, and it's usually from our childhood, the abusive mom or dad, and people think they're going to override this. And I can tell you, they don't. They'll get, cancer or some horrible disease like I did.
Yeah. And your house burned
down. I'm fine now. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah. Thank God. And then I know your house burnt down as well.
Yeah, I got divorced and then my house burned down. And my house burned down right before I signed the divorce papers. And then I had stage 3 breast cancer and I had a recurrence and I've had about 4 surgeries. And it's been quite the journey. But I here's the thing though about a full-scale spiritual crisis of meaning, which is what that is. Mm-hmm. Some people have those more than others because they're here to help people through spiritual crises of meaning.
Right.
And in essence, everything in my life burned down that wasn't me. Mm. And I had a period where I felt like a victim. You know, I had that, oh, poor me thing going on. Yeah. And I worked through the emotions of that. And I really got to this place of empathy and compassion for myself and all the people involved. Mm. Right? Judge them not, for they know not what they do, mm-hmm. including us. We don't always know why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's really strengthened me, and I am way more discerning. Way more discerning about who I let in. There's a lot of client, people approach me to work with me, and I say no. I turn away, people are like, oh, you turned away all that money. I'm like, well, actually I turned away a nightmare headache is what I did.
Yeah.
So having enough trust in self means you're in faith. You're not in scarcity. It's a big thing to live in trust. Mm-hmm. And I observe most people don't. People tell me they're spiritual and then they have no money. And I'm like, well, then you're not spiritual. I'm sorry. Because if you were spiritual, truly, you would trust this universe to support you. You would really trust it instead of constantly manipulating it and overdoing and pushing and not listening and refusing to take the feedback, which is what I see so many people do. They're so defended. People are saying, hey, this is your problem. If you fix this, and like, oh, no. So anyway, you got to be willing to be kind of get the universe smacked down.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. I don't wish it on anyone, but anyway. Okay, so let's get into some technique here.
Okay, technique. You've had successful event year after year. I love the name of your event called Gifted.
Yes.
How did you fill those events? Did you have speakers, like sponsors? Give us your strategy, how you filled your events.
Right. So, you know, the main thing is you need a good team to do an event.
Okay.
So I highly recommend have an event planner who's experienced. You know, don't skimp on help.
Okay.
It's nice if you have volunteers and paid help from within your community. They understand your content and what you offer. It's good to also have a hotel negotiator. Sometimes the event planner will do the hotel negotiation. Here's the thing. Mathematically, 1 to 2% of your list will be interested in an event, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you have 5,000 people on your list, maybe 50 people will be interested. And of those, maybe 2% will enroll. So you've got 1 to 2% interest rate. And from that 1 to 2%, you got 1 to 2% that will actually sign up, because going to a live event, you have plane tickets and hotel. And yeah, so somehow figuring out the way to enroll them in wanting to come to this experience, right?
Right.
So you don't want to outlay a lot on a hotel if you don't have the numbers to back it up. You're better off doing it in your living room, having 5 to 10 people, or renting an Airbnb or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Start small. Beta test your material. Get feedback from the group. Start where you are.
Yeah.
Start where you are. I mean, my first major hotel event was 2007, but I've been doing smaller events since 2000. And, you know, the hotel bill was $40,000.
Wow.
Right? And that's a low event. I mean, if it's 200 people or more, it's $100,000. And that doesn't include even all the team time or it doesn't include my time. Right? My time's not even my build, right? So I would say to people, be clear on the transformation you provide. Communicate that well to your audience. If you don't know how to communicate it, work with a copywriter to communicate the value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start with where you're at in terms of your numbers. So if you have a relatively small list, yeah, don't go crazy trying to, you know, impress anybody. Because I wouldn't even do the events except people ask for them. Right. Like I just wait for my audience to tell me what they want. And they're like, oh, please do the event. And I'm like, all right. It's a lot of work. But if it's in response, then I'm okay with that. Filling the event, there's a number of ways you can do that. So I like to have a program offer pre-event and then include a free ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all the free ticket people come, but depending on your numbers, that could be 10 to 20% of the room, maybe more.
Right.
Being a sponsor at events is a great way to attract clients. Having sponsorship is a great way to defray the event costs, but also the sponsors have free tickets they can give out, and they often bring quality prospective clients to events.
Mm-hmm.
Joint venturing, having people promote the event for you. Doing a free content teleseries with different aspects of the event, content, Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend having a video and a sales letter on a sales page for your event. Again, don't leave this to chance. There's a whole system to it. You know, it's like none of this is accidental, right? So if you're going to have an event, you need to know how to write a sales letter. And if you don't know how to write one, have someone help you who does. And you can take pieces of that sales letter and turn them into emails. You can break the whole sales letter into chunks. So you have a whole email series of the sales letter. Facebook ads, again, if you know what you're doing and you have a budget for that, that can be very effective within your friends and friends of friends group, provided they're your target market.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a city tour where you have half-day events and sell tickets to your event, or sell something and include the tickets to the event. So I really like ways in which you can give tickets. You know, all your clients in a high-level program, they ought to get a ticket, right? And they just have to pay a seat deposit. And that's what we do. We have a $97 seat deposit. They don't get it back if they don't show, right? It helps cover the cost. It doesn't entirely cover their cost, but it helps cover it. And if they show up, they get a $100 bill back.
Mm-hmm. They make money on it. I like
they make
it.
Money. Now, some people give out voucher cards that are plastic that the person can use at the event. Mm-hmm. But if you promise them the money back, it either needs to be a check or cash. And you may want to use check because they can always sign that over. You know, the cash they might spend on parking or lunch or whatever. So it's up to you. It's up to you. But those are some of the basic ways to fill an event. And of course, the best part of it, or the most compelling part of it, is having a phenomenal offer that promises a tangible, meaningful benefit to your client.
To make an offer. That way you make the money at the event.
Right. And then at your event, that's a whole other thing where you, how do you monetize the event? And there's a whole host of strategies to monetize the event because the event usually isn't the big money maker.
Right.
Right. It's what you offer at the event. So, and there's no better place to offer things than live.
Yeah.
The conversion's highest live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So have you done those city tours where you
I have not. You know, I've been encouraged to do it, so I might at some point do it. But I have several friends who do them regularly, and they're hugely successful. Mm-hmm. So I would, again, I would recommend if you're going to do a city tour, go to someone's free event or $47 city tour event.
Right.
Get there, even if you have to fly there, and see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And take really good notes. Because a lot of what I've learned to do with events is from going to people's events and taking really good notes and just, again, absorbing the whole process, like how did registration go and how did they make offers from the stage and noting down their entire PowerPoint presentation and you know, which ones worked and which ones didn't and why. And you know, so the more events you go to, the more you're going to know how to have events. I personally feel you need to spend some significant money on your own self, your own education, to make offers to other people for them to invest with you.
Right.
It's a receiving thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Feeling worthy of receiving the payment from the client.
Yeah. So you're saying that people should have the experience of letting go of money and investing in themselves to receive.
Yeah. Like education.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If someone wants to offer a $20,000 program and they've never spent that amount of money.
Right. Good luck.
You know, my coaching this year, $34,000 for coaching in 2017. Mm-hmm. So far, I have a meeting this Thursday with my mastermind group. It's my second year in the group. And then I'm in the speaker training and all told that's going to cost me about $27,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually it's more like 36,000. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I probably, you know, put, I don't know, 5% of my revenue towards education every year.
Yeah. That's where most of mine goes back to as well.
Yeah. That in my business, I hire people, I invest in new equipment and so, because the more I educate myself, the more I can help my clients. So we've always got to be students. And coaches who aren't always students and aren't investing in themselves, they're probably still in scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if I'm going to hire someone, I'm like, well, who do you coach with? That's what I'm going to ask them. How much money does your business make? I need to know these things. Mm-hmm. And how many investments do you have? And how much property do you own? And where are you on your journey?
Right.
Because I want someone more successful than me, right? More involved than me to teach me.
Exactly. So I love that. And I love too that it's like you've had your business for 19 years and you're still investing at a high level. You're still honing your skills and it never ends.
Never ends. And I'm now in this place, like most of us, here's the other thing. I'm going to be 49 in August, right? So most of us don't really expand until we're 50. Nice. That's the age for all of us. Like the whole first part of your life up to age 50 is preparation for having the ideal life you want. And if you take care of your health, you ought to live to at least 84, 85 years of age. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. So you want to at least get to age 85, because the age 50 to 84 is when it gets really good.
Nice.
The, you know, money, the best relationships, the most soul satisfaction, the best creativity. So I just encourage people, chill out. Like, yes, be busy, but be strategic in investing in yourself, learning what you need to learn, surrounding yourself with people who are already doing things you want to do. Mm-hmm. And stop hiding behind your computer and Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, like people are on Facebook. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. I'm on Facebook maybe 3 days a week to go into my groups and talk to my clients. And occasionally I will get on my homepage and chat with a few people or have a debate with a troll just for grits, right? Now there's a troll. Okay, you want to do this? And they're usually quiet after I talk with them because I use logic and not emotion. Yeah. And they're like, oh, good point. Yeah, I'm like, right. So, you know, they're looking for fun. Do I engage the trolls? Can't take that stuff personally. But what I see is that people maybe don't understand they're going to die.
Yeah.
That they're not in touch with the fact they're mortal.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die sooner or later. And this, like they say, is not a dress rehearsal. So deal with your childhood crap, figure out your purpose, get a good coach to help you find the right business model for your personality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have clients who only ought to work at home from their ivory tower 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Facebook video or whatever. And then I have other clients, people like me, who, you know, I just work all the time except when I don't want to. And then I go sleep or go to dance class or something, right? You know, someone who doesn't understand that would say, oh, you work so much. I'm like, no, it's what I love to do. It's what I'm designed to work.
Yeah.
And travel and be busy and doing a bazillion things. And that's my personality. And I need to be visible and I need to be out there and I need to socialize.
Yep.
So understanding your design then will inform the business model. And then it's getting the tools, because business is complex. It's a complex system.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't strategies. Strategies support a system or don't support it if they're the incorrect strategies. So a business is a system, like money is a system. And to be successful in business, you need to understand how the system works and all those moving parts. And even if you're not doing every moving part of the business, you need someone who is.
Right.
Right. Because you need customer service and you need accounting and right. There's all these moving parts and they're all different skills unto themselves. So for someone starting out in business, the first thing is set your business entity up correctly and then get some clients.
Right.
So you have cash flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start developing your work one step at a time.
Right.
Because people want to make these grand leaps. And I'm sorry, folks, no one makes the grand leap. I don't know these people.
Right. It's like the 9-year success story that happened overnight. Exactly.
And even these young tech people, right? They sell their company for, you know, $100 million at age 27. Well, you find out they're a savant genius who's been programming since they were 7 years old. So actually it was a 20-year success.
Yeah.
Or like Justin Timberlake, you know, he started singing when he was 3 and he hit it big when he was 20 or, you know, teens, but he'd already been at it 10 to 15 years. So it's so important that we remember there is no overnight success. There is no quick fix. It's only one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to skip steps, you better know which steps to skip.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, ask someone who does, because you can skip steps, but you otherwise you go back and have to do it again. So
yeah.
Which sucks.
So valuable. Yeah, no kidding, right?
So just who hasn't had to do that, right? Like take the sunken souffle, dump it in the trash and start again. Yeah.
Yeah. I love just your whole perspective on just chill, relax. Like life gets good at 50. Like, I know. And there's so much, we put so much pressure on ourselves and I would say as people are taking these steps, that is when their tribal wounds come up and heal.
Yeah.
heal those while you're going.
Yes. Yes. It's not heal and then it's heal as you fly, right? And healing takes what it takes. You know, we all require ongoing healing because we live in a system that always wants homeostasis. And in order to be in homeostasis, our body and our spirit's always self-correcting when things get too out of whack. Right. And our job is to be in tune with our body. Right. So if we're working too much, like, oh, really, dude, take a break or you'll get sick. So I don't know. I think it's just part of being older too, that I just don't have time for the pain or the drama. Like dramatic people, you know, or not, I have dramatic people in my life, but people who create problems out.
Talk to the hand.
Talk good. Go away.
Talk to the hand.
Goodbye.
I love it.
Yeah, so that just the common sense, right? Like, eat right, quit smoking. You know, like I see people and they're like, you know, they're so unhealthy. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing to your vehicle? Or like, where's the self-love?
Right.
So ultimately, if I were to sum up everything I do, it's to help people experience self-love and have deep compassion for who they are. So my choices in life are about loving myself. Does this food nourish me? Does this relationship nourish me? Is this client someone I can actually help? Or are they just going to be a big headache?
Right.
But if you're operating from fear and scarcity, you'll make lots of really poor decisions, especially if you listen to your mind. Your mind is like worthless for decisions. And that's, people are trying to plan their business from their head, make decisions from their head. Doesn't work.
Right.
Just doesn't work. It just creates a whole bunch of stuff that isn't in response to your life, to your environment. So I would just encourage people, step back a little and notice what's coming to you. And before you decide to do anything, check internally to see if it's the right decision. And then put your physical energy into the goal or the project. Because everything we need will come to us if we let it.
Yeah, well,
it really will. But they, like, people are afraid they won't be asked or that the opportunity won't come. And so then they bung it up by being up here.
Totally. I've done that. That is for damn sure.
Yeah.
It's too much of the mental energy. Like,
that's right.
So I know you have a really valuable free gift that talks about the hand analysis. Can you tell us?
Sure.
That?
So in your hands, your fingerprints form in utero between the 14th and 16th week, and these fingerprints don't change. So in this tutorial series I've created, it focuses on the life school. And the life school is like your operating system. It's your spiritual training camp. And there are four life schools. And each of the schools influences how you show up in your business. Right? Whether you know, you're here to build a community or you're a strategist, whatever it might be. It's very clear from the hands.
What's your life school?
School of love.
Yeah.
What's yours?
That's what mine is. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So people in the school of love, you know, relationships are everything. It's all about the love. It's all about the community. You know, it's really important who we have around us. So there's some interactive quizzes and people can explore the different schools and see what operating system they may have. And then, of course, to really know, you need to have your hands analyzed. And in that analysis is your life purpose and your life lesson, which is your blind spot, the wound.
Yeah.
Gift markings, challenge markers, relationship markers, money markers. It's all in the blueprint. Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I had my hand read by one of your students many, many years ago, and it has completely come true. Everything. It's just like she, and even to this day, what she told me 5 years ago was hitting me last week.
Yeah.
Like, this is my life lesson. This is what she was talking about. Huge. I really recommend that everyone works with you to get their hand or your team.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's
Thank
so
you. Yeah.
Powerful.
Well, when you give them out the link, it will add them to our community. They'll get the tutorials. And then obviously if they want to take it further, we can give them resources to do that.
Yeah. It's so, I really recommend it. And what I love too about Beth and your story is that you've talked about how like there, and you probably hopefully go into it in your camp. We didn't have to have time to go into it, but you were at this point where you were like suicidal before you figured out your life purpose. And
then
you figured out your life purpose and it's in your hands.
That's
That's what sprung this on.
Yes.
Like, this is our life purpose. This is a big deal. People need
big
to know
deal.
This.
Most important thing you could know, because it's the foundation of everything. Your design is the foundation of everything. The blueprint is the mechanism that wants to turn the acorn into the oak tree. The acorn doesn't become a willow tree. Right. You need to know what kind of tree you're supposed to be.
Right. It's so valuable. And I actually, if you don't have it, it's like, think about all those years you're wasting. Like, I think that every kid needs their hand read at a young age, because I mean, I've got two small kids. I'm like, I could just like shortcut them a whole lot of hell and
trauma.
That's
right. A whole lot of pain. Yeah, I remember I dated this guy, and he said to me, well, in my tradition, we don't believe in any of that stuff, because we believe that, you know who you are on the inside. And I said, yeah, and how's that working for you? Because his life was just not, I said, it's not working for you, but you're not open to understanding how you're designed, your own blueprint, and you resist it, and you betray it, and you keep getting all this negative feedback. And I don't understand that. Why nature put it in your hands, right? Wouldn't it make sense that nature would give you a map like right there?
Right.
You're like, I don't believe in that. I'm like, well, there's lots of stuff I don't believe in, because science has no evidence of it at all. Mm-hmm. And people love believing in that stuff.
Right.
But things that actually you can prove, like, oh, I don't believe in that. It's kind of like climate change. Oh, I don't believe in climate change. It's like, folks, we're in the sixth extinction level event that the planet has seen, right?
Yeah.
40% of all species have died since the 1970s, but I don't believe in it. So there's certain people we can't help, because reality is not of interest. You know, something else is greed, fear, something else is a reality. But when someone's really ready to be in reality and understand the science of their DNA, this is DNA, and the hands are a map of the brain. They're a map of your brain. It's your brain structure, which creates your personality. So when someone's ready to know that, magic happens.
Magic. Yeah. What of your clients who had their hand read is in the series, and she was raving about you, Tanya.
Oh, that's nice.
And
thank
Beth
you.
Beth told me. It's like the clouds parted.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
That's great. Okay. All right, my dear. Well, thank you so much. I have to go to my next call. I'm so honored we got this time together.
Me too. Thank you.
And I hope the listeners got a good blend of inner and outer approaches.
They did. Great. Okay, everybody, download Beth's free gift here on the page and stay in touch with her. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Bye.